The first Sunday of the year is always a good one here at Bethany because we are privileged to be able to have Teen Challenge with us. This year is a little unique because we have two Teen Challenges with us. They're going to share about the ministry of Teen Challenge, and I want to encourage you in this regard. As we were worshiping, I was reflecting and thinking about the heart that we need to have. And I think that one thing we need to restore is a heart of humility that says, God, I am humble enough to give you whatever you want. I'm humble enough to surrender and to put myself before you and to say, change me. Because if we believe that there's nothing to be changed in us, that we've reached the apex of our spirituality, then we are not biblical Christians. We are deluded Christians. And we need to believe, God, that he wants to continue to do good things in our lives and bring us to that day of completion. And so with that, I want to ask you to humble your heart and joyfully welcome Teen Challenge to Bethany with me.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Can you hear me now? There I am. Good morning, church. How is everybody this morning? It is amazing to be with you this morning. My name is Tori Ferrari. I am the director of the Adult and Teen Challenge New England and New Jersey's Bloom, A Place for Girls. That is a mouthful. But basically, I get the honor and joy every single day to minister to the young ladies as young as 12 up to the age of 18 in Teen Challenge. And you know, there was a song that was sung this morning I'd never heard before. And that song that talked about shouting to Jesus, well, speaking to Jesus and then shouting to Jesus, today you're going to have the opportunity to hear about Teen Challenge programs, the men's program from Billy, and you're going to hear about the adolescent girls program from me. But you know what? It's not about a program. It's about shouting to Jesus, shouting about Jesus, about everything that he's done. And you know, every time I go someplace, I know I meet so many people that know people that have gone through Teen Challenge, that have seen what God does in this ministry. And so I'm excited because behind me is the Teen Challenge choir that you're going to get to hear singing in a little bit. And you're going to get to hear testimonies. But I want to take just a couple minutes and share with you about the ministry called Bloom that's part of Teen Challenge. It's the newest part of the ministry. We're celebrating 5 years this month. Praise God. 6 years ago, I moved here to start this program. There was no program, and now we've had the opportunity in 5 years to see 62 young ladies complete this program. Now, Bloom's a little bit different than the men's program. As Billy's going to share with you, the men's program is a longer program. The young ladies that come to us, as I said, they're as young as 12 up to the age of 18. They may be struggling with addiction. They may be struggling with abuse, neglect, self-harming, suicidal tendencies, anxiety, depression, sexual exploitation. You see, Teen Challenge is about so much more than addiction. It's about all the issues that accompany that as well. Some of these young ladies may never have struggled with addiction, but maybe they've lost a parent to an overdose. The struggle is very real. Our program is not the long-term program. It's a minimum of 3 months, a maximum of 5, to which all the young ladies behind me say hallelujah. Because we're one of only 2 in the entire country that's short-term. And the reason why we do that is because as a parent, how many of you are parents in the room? Can you imagine how desperate things have to become to send your daughter to a program for 15 months? I don't know about you, but as a parent, I would probably wait as long as I possibly could, and by that time, how bad are things? And so they come to us for 3 to 5 months, and we share with them. I love that anxiety class that you're teaching, challenging anxiety with the word of truth. Everything that we do is Christ-centered. There isn't a single part. Some people say we're faith-based. I want to challenge that statement. We are Jesus saturated. You can't take Jesus out of any part of our program. Our counseling is biblical counseling. Our curriculum is biblical curriculum. Day in, day out, these young women are surrounded by women of God holding them accountable. How many of you think your journey would have been so much easier if somebody had said, moment by moment, is that the way you should have said that? Maybe there's a way you could do that differently. I don't know about you, but it probably would have saved me a whole lot of grief in my walk with Jesus if somebody had been there to walk alongside me, and that's exactly what we do 24/7. And so Bloom's a little bit different, but we're so happy to be here and partnered with the Men of Massachusetts Teen Challenge today, and you're going to find out later today why we felt it was so important to partner together to share the message of what God is doing, not just in the girls, not just in the men, but in families. Amen? Because, I mean, you sung it this morning, and you said it this morning, there is a real battle on in families. And so I want to thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to be here this morning. We are blessed to be bringing in this new year, which I'm believing is going to be the best one yet. Amen? Amen?
As I was driving up here today, I drove by the Basketball Hall of Fame. And if there was a Hall of Fame for people who help out young girls, Tori would be a first ballot Hall of Famer, honestly. And it's just such a blessing to be here, you know, when we have the young girls here, that also helps us sound better when we sing. So, you know, it's always a great thing. And if I could have gone to hang out with Tori for 3 to 5 months, it would have been a lot easier than the 15 and a half months I did at Teen Challenge. So, you know, it's always a blessing to be with Tori and the girls here. My name is Billy. I'm from South Boston, and Jesus Christ saved my life. You know, growing up as a kid, my parents got divorced, as many households, that happens to many households. And you know, as a kid, you don't realize the effects that'll have on you later down the line. And as I got older, I started using sports and friendships and relationships as an outlet, never wanting to go home or never wanting to go behind a closed door and deal with what was inside of my heart. And I used drugs and alcohol as a way to escape as time went on. And I got into high school, and at that point, I knew that there was something wrong, but I never wanted to identify it. So I just went to the feel-good. I went to the drugs. I went to the alcohol. I went to the women. And it never worked for me. I went to college for baseball. Threw that all away because of the party scene. Threw that all away because of the worldly things that as a young kid you think are the coolest things in life, but in all reality, it's a relationship with Jesus. But I never had a relationship with Jesus. And as I dropped out of college, I started moving around the country, running away from my issues. I was in and out of every detox, sober house, halfway house, sober living, you name it, I tried it. But it was on my own will, it was on my own accord, and it never worked. I ended up moving to Philadelphia. I had a great job. I threw that away. And then I had a decision to make. And it was either buy the next bag of drugs or pay rent. Given the lifestyle I was living, I bought the next bag of drugs. And 2 weeks later, I was homeless on the streets of Philadelphia. And this was in October, November 2019, just about 2 years ago. And my parents had no idea where I was. They were calling every police station, hospital, couldn't find me. And I didn't want to call them because I failed again. I couldn't do it anymore. And it got 2 days before Christmas, and I made a phone call. I called my father. I said, Dad, listen, I'm homeless, and I have nowhere to go. You know, Christmas is in 2 days, and I got nothing. And I knew he was angry, but he put all that aside just to help his son. And he found out about a program called Teen Challenge. And, you know, Dad, listen, I'm an adult, man. Like, I'm 30. I don't know what Teen Challenge can do for me. And then I ended up taking the bus ticket, going to Cell Station, getting picked up by my father, staying with him at the hotel that night. I was just reflecting on this with him the other day when he dropped me off at Teen Challenge. You know, because there was a phone call before, and you have to call your intake coordinator. And my dad was telling me it was a six-month program. So I'm like, Dad, what am I going to do for 6 months, man? Read the Bible? I never even opened a Bible. Like, I'm not going to go to chapels and praise whatever you guys praise. Like, I don't know. And I called, and they were like, yeah, it's a 12 to 15-month program. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I got to go. And I hung up the phone. But then I looked at that, I looked at my father and the look that he had in his eyes, and I think about our Heavenly Father, and I think about Judges 10:16. And in Judges 10:16, God became miserable at watching the suffering of his people because he sent judges. He split the Red Sea. He sent plagues to Egypt. But he wants us so bad. And the second best decision I made in my life was walking through the doors of Teen Challenge on December 27th. Of 2019. 3 days later, I gave my life over to Jesus. And I didn't even know what that meant. But that's the thing. You know, Teen Challenge, it's just such a blessing because the 12 to 15 months allows you to identify the reasons why you're using drugs and alcohol. It gives you all the tools that you need. Amen. The ultimate tool in Jesus. But we have an academic center where we have a couple guys that take the time to know the individual. It's not just based off a program. It's based off the individual. Because God chases the individual. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be Christ-like. We are saturated with Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus. These men and women behind me, I can pick out every man here and know about at least one thing about them that they're surrendering over to God. Each and every day, waking up, looking at themselves in the mirror. God, what can I do different today? God, change me, help me. Help me surrender. You know, and our program is based out of five phases. Every phase, you're learning something different about Christ. Obviously, I never knew Christ, so it was just like, you know, I was running to people with my Bible. Hey, help me out. What does this mean? I don't know what this is. You know, and as time went on, things started getting tough. You know, and I think about the scripture. 1 Peter 5:10, after suffering a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you in the name of his son, Jesus. You know, and I had the blessed opportunity of signing on and working at Teen Challenge as a staff member. But I think about a congregation like this that is poured in financially, poured in with prayer over and over again, year after year. And it gives me the opportunity to stand here today to say thank you, that I can be the uncle I never could be. I could be the son I never could be. I could be the friend I never could be. I could be the brother I never could be. You know, and today's my last day at Teen Challenge. I take a flight to California at 8 p.m. tonight. But that's because Teen Challenge believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. That's because somebody was praying for me and I didn't even know who they were.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say that I'm so thrilled and happy to be able to pave the way for somebody else. You know, the different ministries we have a carpentry shop, we have a mechanic shop, we have a call center. We have different ministries where the guys go and they learn a trade. We have different guys that go in that never even picked up a piece of wood, never even touched a table saw. And they're going in and they're making beautiful pieces of art that you guys saw when you came in here. You know, and they're seeing completion. They're seeing a finished product.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that's what we do with our program. We try to finish the job because we serve a God of completion. So without further ado, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you very much.
Stand and sing with us. Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Power.
The power of hell, forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, for God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him.
Come on, choir.
Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
All right. Y'all may be seated for a moment. Well, good morning. My name is Matthew Corbin, and I am from Savannah, Georgia. I got here about 7 months ago, and I start off by liking to say that I grew up in the church. I sat in the pews every Sunday. And my family was not okay. At 8 years old, my mother married a man.
and he was ravaged by his own addictions. He was an alcoholic, and he would pop pills as well. So he would black out. He would come home from the bar. I would watch him beat my mother. My mom slipped into a dark, dark depression. She began locking herself in a room. And then my stepfather began beating me as well. I was hit many times with fists, pots and pans, and I was hit with rebar a couple times. You know, I say that because we would come to church every Sunday, and like I said, we were not okay. Don't be silent. Silence almost killed me. Silence almost killed my family. Now, the events that brought me to Teen Challenge. 2 weeks before I flew up here, I found my best friend. He was upstairs in my bathroom. He was dead from an overdose. He was blue in the face. He wasn't breathing. I tried everything. CPR. Hit him in the face a few times. Took water from the shower and sprayed it on him. There was nothing. It was at this moment that my mother pulled up from church. Normally she'll stop and grab food from the grocery store because we like to cook after church. But for some reason she came straight home. As all this is happening, I hear a car pull up and I run downstairs. I say, "Mom, Nicholas is dead upstairs." I'm freaking out. I repeated myself. I said, "Mom, Nicholas is dead upstairs." So we run. She opens the bathroom door. And the first thing that she did, she prayed and rebuked the spirit of death and the spirit of addiction. In the name of Jesus Christ, she told me, "You try CPR again." And 15 seconds later, Nicholas breathed. We are firm believers in prayer. Please come see us afterwards. Do not be silent. Your faith and prayer can move mountains. So I finish with the scripture that I stand on that's spoken most to me, and it's Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5. And it states that, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. So sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. We say weeping may stay for the night, but then rejoicing comes in the morning." And we firmly believe that God is doing a good work in us, and there's a new day that he has made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. Thank you so much for listening. we're good.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Giovanna. I'm 13 years old and I'm from Pennsylvania. I've been at Bloom for 3 months now, and before I came to Bloom, I struggled with self-harm, suicidal tendencies, negativity, anger, and self-image. A couple of things that I have learned at Bloom is that anger never really gets you anywhere. It really doesn't. Another thing that I have learned at Bloom is to have more self-control over my anger, too. And I think that the most eye-opening moment for me was whenever one day I had a really hard day and I had gotten really angry, and Miss Tori told me that in that moment that God was testing me. And what happened after that was I had prayed that God would help me through the rest of my stay at Bloom, and he did. He like helped me through everything, and I learned to pray more, and I just get so excited when I go to church now. Like, I used to like go to church, but I hadn't gone to church in 3 years, and then I finally like went and I did it. I ran to the altar and I had called to God and I surrendered to him, and I asked him to help me through what I had gone through. And a verse that I stand by is Proverbs 14:22. If you plan to do evil, you will be lost. But if you plan to do good, you will receive everlasting love and faithfulness. And I just love that verse. I just like opened my Bible and found it, and I was like, well, this is a sign. And whenever I go home, I plan on like going to church more, worshiping God more, and like helping others too, and sharing the gospel as much as I can, because I feel like that's what I'm called to do now. And I also plan to move into high school and start VOTEC to become like a nurse in the medical field, and I want to help people.
I said I know how this story ends.
enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
One more time, one more time.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it.
I'm 17, and I'm from Central Oregon. I've been at Bloom for 3 months now. Before I came to Bloom, I struggled with anger, self-harm, and trauma. But while being at Bloom, I've been learning how to manage my anger in a way that will honor God and the people around me. I've also been learning how to respect myself and others and see everyone through God's eyes. And I am fully recovering from my past trauma. My favorite verse is John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
I think it gives me hope that with God's strength, I can accomplish anything and I can overcome anything and everything that has been done to me or that I will go through. After Bloom, I plan on graduating high school, going to school to become an esthetician, and pursuing a career in music. Amen. Thank you.
Isn't our God good? Yeah. Amen. You know, one of the reasons why we're coming and we're doing combined services is because the reality is that this thing called addiction and abuse and trauma and all of these things affect families. Amen. They affect families. And I'll just tell you real quickly before we close, I was a student in the short-term adolescent girls' home in Tucson, Arizona. I'm just going to say over 30 years ago. I'm not going to tell you exactly how many years ago it was, but I was a 16-year-old young woman who had made a lot of really bad choices. And it was there that I heard the gospel message for the very first time, and it radically transformed my life. 20 years ago, I was offered the opportunity to come back and serve as the director of the Adolescent Girls Home in Tucson, Arizona, which is where I got saved. And I turned to my sons at the time because I'd gotten married and had children, and moved forward and was raising my children, my sons, to be godly young men. And I approached them and I said, I need to know that you're okay with the fact that there are times when mom's going to have to be called away. She might have to leave a little league game because somebody might need to know about Jesus. And my oldest, who was 8 at the time, looked at me. And, you know, don't ever discount your kids speaking God's wisdom to you. Because he looked at me and he said, well, Mom, isn't that where you met Jesus? And I said, yes, it is. And he said, go and minister to somebody else's mom. Amen. These young women in the front row aren't somebody's mom right now, but someday they will be. When I went through that program, I wasn't anybody's mom, but 9 years later, I was. You see, these young women are having the opportunity for their lives to radically change before they have children. And these men back here are learning how to be husbands and fathers so that their daughters may never come into bloom. You see, it's God's desire to see a restoration of the entire family. Sometimes it's life by life. And so that's why we're combining, because the reality is God's heart is for the family. He's for the daughters. He's for the fathers. Amen? And so we are incredibly blessed to have shared with you this morning. I'm going to hand it over to Billy now.
Yes, again, just like Tori said, thank you guys so much. And we do have a gift for you, Pastor, for having us today. And we're very grateful and thankful that you guys brought us out. Here you are, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, yeah, and also, as well as you guys see on your seats, we do have prayer cards. And we encourage you to write down a prayer if you know someone struggling that needs help, or you know someone struggling that needs to come into one of our programs. Just please come talk to us at either of our tables for some prayer or some merchandise. So just thank you so much today. Have a great day.
We've heard some powerful testimonies today of what God has done and how he's at work in lives. And he's not only at work in other people's lives, he's at work in our lives and in your life. And so we don't want to close without offering an opportunity that if you are in need of prayer, if you have something in your life that you need deliverance from, if you need deliverance from anxiety or depression or addiction, or you're having a struggle in your home or in your family and you need prayer for that this morning, our prayer partners, pastors, deacons, and deaconesses are going to be available. If you have a need in your body and you need prayer, we're going to be available. We would love to pray for you. And we want to do it in the spirit and in the faith of the testimonies that we've just heard. We hear testimonies to remind us of how good God is. Not only of how he has acted, but of who he is and what he does. Not just what he's done, but what he does. And we've heard testimonies that are very recent today of what God is doing in lives. And today, if you're in need of that kind of breakthrough, that kind of change, that kind of transformation in your life, he's the same God who's done it in these lives, who can do it in your life. And so we want to pray for that. So pastors, deacons, deaconesses, would you go ahead and make your way forward? I'm going to close in prayer, but as I do, if you have a need in your life, if you have a need in your body, if you have a need of deliverance, come forward and let us pray for you. We want to see God do a transforming work in your lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the good news that we've heard today. The good news that your son's death and resurrection on our behalf is still powerfully at work, that your Holy Spirit is still powerfully at work in people. And we thank you for the transformation that is taking place in many lives. And Lord, today we ask that you would continue to transform us. Lord, no matter where we are at in our journey with you, we're so grateful that you take us from glory to glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can forget what lies behind and we can press on toward the good things that you have for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that this morning you have promised restoration and deliverance and freedom to your people. And I ask, Lord, that you would indeed set people free today. We ask, Lord, that as people come in a moment and they are being prayed for, that you would respond in great power, that your Holy Spirit would bring deliverance, and that you would bring new life and freedom. And Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here that is struggling right now, wondering, should I go? Should I be prayed for? Lord, I ask that you would remove that hindrance from them. I pray that you would help them not to hesitate, but that, God, they would come and receive the goodness and the grace that you want to pour out on them. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that just as we've heard these testimonies of your goodness today, that you would begin and mark this year with many, many more testimonies of the goodness that you're pouring out on your people, of lives transformed by the gospel. That's what we want to see, and it's what we are believing you for. We love you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and we believe. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you need prayer, if you need healing, if you need deliverance, please come and see us. Give your prayer request cards to the table back there. The guys and girls from Teen Challenge will be back in the lobby. We thank you for being with us. We will see you again on Wednesday. Until then, go in God's grace and in His peace.